Well, you did it again. Last week we had an announcement about an apple tree in the foyer and an opportunity for you to go and take one of those items which had school supplies and things that would help teachers at our teachers and our elementary school close by, Limestone, and encourage you to see if we can get all those apples last week, same day it's announced, and sure enough you do. And those are taken. That's exciting. Obviously, you're excited about it, and that's good. So just a reminder about those. We need to bring those items back, and you can place them on the table there in the foyer. And August 5th is the deadline, and so time will be coming up quickly. But a reminder to do that. This Saturday, we are having a men's day, and it's just 8 o'clock to noon. We could have called it the men's morning, so it's not even your whole day, guys. But this Saturday, we'll start with pancake breakfast at 8 o'clock. And I need you to sign up. Guys, if you're coming, sign up on the sheet in the foyer. Or you can text me if you want to just text me and let me know. I'll be sure and get your name on the board. You can text me right now. My number's on the back of the bulletin. My phone's on silent. It'll blow up, but that's fine. Need to know if you can help with breakfast, help preparing, or if you want to help cleaning up. I'm on cleanup crew, by the way. I will not be there at the breakfast time, but check with Zach if you can help with breakfast. And so that'll be this Saturday. And we have Marty Kessler coming from Choctaw. Marty is a good man, a godly man, and I think he's going to be a big encouragement to us. He has a couple lessons prepared on the topic of stand and standing for God as men. So guys, I want to encourage you to come to that. Yeah. Our theme this year, as was mentioned, you see the banner on the wall. It's about one another. It's about helping one another, building each other up. And this morning, I want to take a series of three sermons and really hit on this for us as a church. And so we'll focus on it the next 3 weeks. And today we'll focus on it, specifically encouraging each other, spurring one another on, those two ideas. Recently, I shared a post on Facebook about the benefit of Christians being together in the church and coming together and the value of that, really what we're doing this morning. And there was a critical response that really speaks to a mentality of many in our culture, which is, why do you need church? Or, basically the idea that Christians and organized religion is not that great, does harm, is harmful, hypocritical, those kind of things. And so I hate hearing that. I hate hearing that the world doesn't realize we're trying to bless the world. And that the world doesn't see the gathering of Christians as being a positive thing. But I want to remind us this morning why God wants us together. Think about it. If we never came together, we would be Christians, but we wouldn't be the church. The church is us together. You are a part. If you're a Christian, you are a part of the church. That's what we are. And separate, we do God's will and we do God's work, but we would just be Christians scattered without organization. And the fact is, the total of us together is the greater than the sum of us separate. We are better together. And the world would be wise to know, and maybe we can help them learn. Listen, world, you want us Christians together. You think we're hypocrites together. You ought to see us separate. Right? We're not trying to be, we don't want to be hypocrites. But we do have a devil that does get us periodically. And when we fall and when we fail, the world is the first to point the finger and say, look there. You know better than we are. And so we need each other. And so I want to encourage you this morning on that. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. And that's so appropriate for us. You are a church of Christians who encourage each other. It is common and frequent that we are told this is the most friendly group of Christians I've ever seen. Keep it up. Keep it up, church. Build each other up. Iron sharpens iron. Love this Proverb 27:17. It's what our men's day is about. Our ladies' retreats, all those times where we get together. you know, guys, if you want to know the answer to the question, why should I come this Saturday? I'll tell you, if you come this Saturday, you will leave better than you came. You will leave a stronger Christian man than when you came. You will leave having encouraged somebody else that was there. You will have encouraged somebody and received encouragement. That's why we do things like that. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." This is a reminder that we are not to be gossips. We're not to be backbiters. It's tempting for us. The fact is, God gave you, He gave you lips on the front of your mouth, not just to kiss your spouse, but He gave you those lips to close when you're wanting to say something you shouldn't say. Amen. Right? We can shut that thing down.
Yes, sir.
Because we have it here, and it comes out, and we have to catch it between here and here. We have to catch it and stop it. I was talking to a brother this week. He was telling me about conflict with his boss and a couple things he had said. And I said, you know, right there, see, that's a good example. That's something that was okay to think. That wasn't real good to say. That wasn't good to say. And we have thoughts that we need to catch and not say. Now, sometimes we'll follow that. We'll react to this verse and say, now, preacher, what I was saying wasn't gossip. It was truth. That's not an accurate definition of gossip. Gossip's not always a lie. But look at this. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. I might have something, I think, to say, and I think, you know, this is true, and they just need to hear it. And if they don't like it, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just speaking the truth. And sometimes we apologize for things we said, and we should apologize for saying the things we said. Just because I feel like I could say it doesn't mean it's helping someone. And I would imagine we're all guilty. So before we point any finger, I'm not pointing the finger. This is God speaking to us saying, be careful what you say. We should filter our comments through, is this helpful? Does this build up? And we will talk less. We'll have less things to say. But I want to encourage us to be encouragers with each other. Hebrews 3:13, this is from New Century Version, says, encourage each other every day while it is today. It's a reminder. Why do we need so much encouragement? Because a day's coming when we won't have any more days.
That's right.
And our eternal destiny will be set. It will be determined. And we want to be on the right side of that. It says, help each other so none of you will become hardened because sin has tricked you. Why encourage your brother or sister? Because Satan is trying to trick them. Satan doesn't just tempt us. He's trying to trick us. He's trying to trick you, and he's trying to trick whoever's sitting next to you. He's trying to trap you, entangle you, embitter you, enrage you, discourage you, and somehow steal your soul. The devil's trying to do that for every one of us. He's trying to steal every soul in this room, isn't he? And so as Christians, why are we encouraging each other? Because I know the devil's trying to trap my friend. He's trying to trap my brother, my sister. He's trying to steal them and their soul. Flip in your Bibles to Ephesians 4:11. Ephesians 4:11 and following. This is a great passage on... This is God's model for the church. So I want to kind of... there's so much meat here in this passage, but... As Christians, we honestly have inherited a church model that comes from years before us. We've inherited a church model of clergy and laity. And the way that model works, we go back hundreds of years. And even churches that came before the Restoration Movement, churches that what's called the Reformation Movement. But with clergy and laity, it's the idea that ministry things are done by clergy. And if you're a layperson, your job is to come and contribute financially. And that there's a clear separation of those two. There's hundreds and hundreds of years where Christians, I use that term loosely, were operating in that model. And so you have all these denominations that came out of that model, and they didn't improve a whole lot on that. And in the late 1700s, you had Christians that were looking at this, and they were looking at how church was done, if I can say it that way. And they said, "Now, folks, this doesn't match up. What we're doing and what this says isn't matching up." And that's where the Restoration Movement came from. But look at God's model on how we are to operate as a church. It says He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. Now, that is a list of leaders. So this is a group of different types of church leaders, but these are given to equip the saints for the work of ministry. A short version of this is preachers are to preach, and shepherds are to shepherds, and deacons are to serve. It's what deacon means, and members are to minister. Did you know you're a minister? If you're a Christian and a part of the body of Christ, you are a minister. That's God's model. But why? Why do we need so many ministers? Why not, you know, a few that could really specialize in it, and the rest of us can come and support them? And the answer is this: for building up the body. Amen. Building up the body of Christ. If you've ever been down or struggling and you had another brother or sister reach out to you and say, "I care about you, I'm praying for you, how can I help you?" That's God's model, isn't it? The church building the church up. Until, verse 13, we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God. So two things. God wants us unified. He wants us to know Him. And as we do that, we're not taught. Verse 14 talks about being tossed to and fro, a wind of doctrine, and then a statement, craftiness and deceitful schemes. That's the devil. He's working on us. He's coming after us. But our job is to build each other up in love. Hebrews 10:23. Here's this classic passage about, the question comes up, do I have to go to church? And what we mean by that is coming to where the church gathers. Do I have to go to worship? How often do I have to go? We've all probably had some thought like that. And so it's not that thought is completely unreasonable, but it's an immature thought. When we are mature in Christ, we want to be with the church. We want to be where Christians are. You know why? Because I struggle when I'm not with the church. I struggle when I'm not with you guys. Don't you? Amen. We struggle. We're not as godly. And we're not built up. So we need each other. But look at this. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. When I first came here, I was learning. This was in 99. I get a church directory talking to Chuck and different ones. And learning about this church family. And so I'm learning names and faces, and I go through this church directory, and periodically I'd walk in and I'd say, "Who is this?" And the answer would be, "Well, you know, that's so-and-so, and we haven't seen them, you know, they don't come anymore. They used to be really active. They used to teach or do this, teach kids class, helping this way, that way, help with the youth." It's always saddening to hear that. You can look through your directory today and the same thing. Now, why is that? The devil would have us think that people just don't want to be with us anymore. Okay? They left. Might be some truth in that. But the real truth of the matter is the devil got them. He stole them. He's trying to steal every one of us. And if I were a betting man, which I'm not, but a smart bet would be, thank you, a smart bet would be that everyone in this room today, a year from now, 2 years from now, we won't all be here. Now, I don't mean we've died. I mean we won't be here. The devil will have won. He will have got you hurt by someone or too busy with things of the world, or, right, fill in the blank. But the end of the story is he won. He's after us. Isn't that something? I don't know that we are aware of that as much as we need to be. He's after us. He's gunning for you right now. And before you leave today, if he can get you frustrated about something, he will. He'll love it. And it's not about us. It's not just us being frustrated with us. So this is why we have to hold together without wavering. Verse 24, this is why let us consider how to stir one another toward love and good works. That's why. Not neglecting to meet together. That's why we being here is important. I want you to know that just you being here today is encouraging someone.
That's right.
I know that for a fact. Our numbers back in the late, this be 08, 09, right around that time, our attendance numbers dropped to where Sunday mornings it was common that we might have 130 people. Roughly half what we oftentimes have now. That gets discouraging, folks. When you drive up and there's no problem finding a parking spot. You can wheel right in. Just pick one. No problem at all. It gets discouraging. But when there's more here, it's encouraging. And you need to know just you being here is encouraging. Sometimes you're encouraging and you don't even know it. When I come to Monday Night for the Master, there have been some times recently. I want to point out two brothers, Reese Bennett and Russell Warren. These two guys encourage me because they will come and they will serve. They will be in the service group with Steve, and they will do whatever is needed to do. And they don't care what it is. They don't. Put them on the end of a vacuum cleaner. Let them change light bulbs. It doesn't matter how what might seem menial. It's just a Christ-hearted brother who says, you need something, I'll do it. And they do it. And so I'm telling you, we encourage each other even in ways we don't realize. But it's important that we're together. Encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. This phrase here, consider how to, is another way to say, be thinking about how to inspire others. Be thinking about how to inspire others. I'm so proud of the college group and Tom and Karen Cotting, because before last Sunday, you know what they were doing? They were thinking about how to encourage others to good works. What's a good work we could do, and how could we encourage the church to do it? It's awesome. Let's talk about this one for a minute. Stir up one another. The NIV translates this, spur one another. It's from the Greek word paroxysmos. Say that with me. Paroxysmos. Say that. You pronounce that correctly. Nobody in here knows if you did or didn't. Paroxysmos. That's a Greek word, and it refers to intense emotion. It's stirring someone else up with an intense emotion. This is a passion thing. This is a, folks, let's get fired up about something. Let's not just come punch our ticket and be mundane and mumble through the songs and get out of here to get on to our lunch plans. But let's get excited about something. That's what this is. There was a day a number of years ago when, and I want to reference a day that Rick O'Dell, and I remember before this happened, he went and talked to his brother, went to the Bentons and talked to Brian. And I remember before he went, Rick came to me, you know, preparing to go do that. Because sometimes when you spur someone on, you're encouraging them to do what they're not doing, and they might take that wrong. And I remember that being on his heart to go to his brother and say, "Brother, I feel like you're not really hitting on all cylinders. You're not really all in for Christ. And as men and leaders of our family and the church, we need to do better." And in his words, he encouraged Brian to say, "Hey, let's get after it." And I love it. And here we are. Brian is not only a deacon in this church, leader of a small group. He's one of the hardest working Christians I know.
True.
I love it.
Amen.
But that might not have come about had he not had a brother who loved him enough to go and say, "Hey, I want to build you up. I want to encourage you. I want to spur you." What happens when we are encouraged? When someone encourages you, it tells you someone cares. Someone thought about you. It tells you you're not alone. There is a bond that is created. When you encourage someone in a special way, it can be very simple. But when it's meaningful, you will realize, you know what? This person and I now have a bond we didn't have before. It's powerful. It's beautiful. One gives, another receives. It keeps us bound together. It's this passage from Ecclesiastes, a great passage. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. If the devil can get us alone, he can get us. But if we stay together, he's much weaker. We are much stronger. We need each other. I'm glad I had a novel thought recently. Stephanie's been in the hospital this week. She was having symptoms that I feared a stroke, and probably the symptoms were more like a seizure, a non-trauma or non-shaking seizure. That's the way I call it. Kim would have a better terminology for that. But that was my fear, and so long story short, it seems to be a medication issue that's been changed, and that's the prayer, you know? I mean, God, let it be something simple, because you fear the worst. My point is, I had a thought, I don't know if I've ever thought really like this before, and the thought is, thank God we have trials. Because when we have trials, they give us an opportunity to encourage. Thank God we have trials. Encourage one another. We're going to close with a song, Bind Us Together. And we need this, don't we? We need to be so close that the devil can't pick us off. He can't drag us away.
That's right.
Our God is stronger. And so we're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you have a need, we'd love to lift you up to God in prayer. If someone is ready to give their life to Christ, don't wait. Do it now. Let us help you if you'll come while we stand and sing.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us.